So let's read this. This is Job 14. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Thou dost open thine eyes on him and bring him into judgment with thyself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with thee, and his limits thou hast set so that he cannot pass. Turn thy gaze from him that he may rest until he fulfills his day like a hired man. For there is hope for a tree when it is cut down that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea and the river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise until the heavens be no more. He will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in Sheol, that thou wouldest conceal me until thy wrath returns to thee, that thou wouldest set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle I will wait until my change comes. Thou wilt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt long for the work of thy hands. For now thou dost number my steps. Thou dost not observe my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou dost wrap up my iniquity. But the falling mountain crumbles away, and the rock moves from its place. Water wears away stones. Its torrents wash away the dust of the earth. So thou dost destroy man's hope. Thou dost forever overpower him, and he departs. Thou dost change his appearance and sends him away. His sons achieve honor, but he does not know it. Or they become insignificant, but he does not perceive it. But his body pains him, and he mourns only for himself. Amen. Okay, again, this is the last part here. As we finish this particular discourse that happens. And Job is speaking really more than anything else of the finality of death. And I'll say this in the beginning here, that Job's understanding of death and the afterlife is actually wrong. And I think this happens a lot when people are in despair. We have thoughts that come to us that are actually not right, not biblical in this way. And so we definitely see this happening to Job in this place. So let's just kind of break it down a little bit, and then we'll get into the time of prayer. So he starts off by asking this thing, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? And obviously, no one can. He says very emphatically, no one. In this place, and Job is despairing, but the whole part is Job is despairing because, you know, he's wondering if God is demanding something from him that he's unable to do or be. Is God asking something of Job that he just absolutely cannot do? In other words, if God is demanding perfect cleanness before he will relieve Job's affliction, then Job knew that he can never meet that standard. And he's coming to this place of despair, and you can see this being revealed. He goes off after that kind of thought. In verse 7, it says, for there is hope for a tree when it is cut down that it will sprout again, and its shoots will not fail. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? Like I said before, Job, he is wrong about the afterlife. And really, in a certain way, the Old Testament doesn't really speak very clearly. There's bits and pieces, but it doesn't really speak very clearly about what happens afterwards. But the New Testament is full of these ideas, particularly in 2 Timothy 2:10. Here, the New American Standard says, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The King James Version probably says it in a way that probably understands it a little better. It says, what Jesus did is he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, immortality, life was brought out as a result. Here's this idea. When we talk about the Old Testament and New Testament, I always heard this this phrase, this saying, and it's always helped me to understand. But it basically, it's as simple as this: Old Testament concealed is New Testament revealed. Old Testament concealed is New Testament revealed. In other words, there's all these different plots in the Old Testament and different ideas, but they're hidden. They're hidden and they're revealed in the New Testament. We see like a lot of the prophecies of Jesus on the cross, the suffering servant, all these things, and it's revealed in the New Testament. So just always think about that. Old Testament concealed is New Testament revealed. By the way, God corrects Job's view of the afterlife, particularly in chapter 38. So when we get there, we'll see God's answer to Job about his thinking about the afterlife and not his bad thinking, but his immature thinking in this way. So remember, out of the pain and the anguish that's going on, there tends to be some aspects of our doctrine that maybe are quite off, and people do this all the time, right? We say things about God in the midst of our pain. We say things about what God does in life in the midst of our pain that are just not accurate. You know, we question God's love, which is unquestionable. And all we have to do is look at the cross to recognize how much God loves us. But we question God's will when his will is inscrutable, and so on and so forth. So you can kind of get the psyche of Job in the midst of this. But then something peculiar happens in verse 13 to 17, this next part. And Job seems to change his view a little bit. And so you can see how in the midst of there was a hope in him always. There was something in him. But unfortunately, what ended up happening was that his pain and his suffering overrode his hope and what was really inside of his heart. So then in 13 and 17, he goes back to his hope. And so he says here, particularly in the passage, verse 14, it says, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. Thou will call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt long for the work of thy hands. And it's quite a beautiful statement here. He's offering the hope. Well, surely this can't be it. If a man dies, will he live again? Is this something that's going to happen? And then he says, I will wait until my change comes, which is a really beautiful way, because we know, particularly in the New Testament, about this change that's going to happen. We also, every one of us, wait for this change. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that our change will be changed. Our perishable will become imperishable. Our mortality will become immortality at the resurrection. Excuse me. 1 John reminds us that when we see him, we will be changed and we will be like him. Philippians chapter 3 tells us our bodies will be gloriously transformed in the midst of this. And the psalmist, Psalm 17, David was confident that he would be changed into God's likeness. And so now Job is grabbed this hope. This is not the end. This is not final. When the resurrection comes, that we will be with him and we'll all be changed. So I'll wait. I'm suffering now, but this is not the end of the story. I'll wait until this thing happens. And then the heart of it in verse 15, and he says, and you shall call and I will answer you. Remember, this was his deepest hope for anything else, above anything else, which is the restored relationship with God. This is what he longed for more than anything else. He talked about it a little bit in the chapter before, but he just said, this is, you know, when you call, you know, and when we have relationship, then I will answer you in this place. And thou will, the end of verse 15, and you will long for the work of thy hands. This idea, because this is God's creation. We are the handiwork, the greatest handiwork of his hands. And so this is the culmination of his creation, of his handiwork, which is man restored in fellowship with God. And so he has a hope for a restored relationship in this place. And so you think, wow, Job's really come a long way. This is fantastic. You know, he was despairing, and now he's come back to that focus, come back to that hope. This is happening. And then, sure enough, verse 18 to 22 comes, and he goes back into the place of despair. And he's basically going back to the pain of it all. In verse 21, his sons achieve honor, but he does not know it. Or they become insignificant, but he does not perceive it. But his body pains him, and he mourns only for himself. He's talking about the unfairness of not knowing what happens to his family after one's death. In other words, death is it. And so, man, I don't, you know, as a father, I don't know what's going to happen to my family, what happens to my sons. He finishes off, right, that he mourns only for himself. His soul will mourn over it. And it's true, because he is in mourning. You know, he is in pain. And this is what happens when people are in pain. This is what happens when people are suffering, that they don't come to their right mind. They make a lot of assumptions, but assumptions that are not right. But even in the midst of that, there's always glimpses of this hope. And I think Job 14 is really giving us this picture of really what that's like, of the pain, the turmoil, the suffering, the affliction that's going on. But in the midst of it, God is sustaining him, and there's hopeful moments in the midst of this. And then there's pain, and I think most of us that have gone through very, very difficult times in our life, or we've had tragedy, or things that sometimes can't be explained happen to us, we go through this roller coaster up and down of each of these things. And I think it's really actually quite a beautiful chapter, really expressing what's happening deep inside. Understand, through the midst of all of this, is that God is still watching over Job, and God is accepting all of his kind of thinking that's not that healthy in these things, because God's not giving up on Job, and God still loves him, obviously, and God's still watching over him. And so, you know, it's okay to have these moments of despair, because God is in it. He's going to do something through it, but make sure that we always open our heart up to the hope. And so as we just move into a time of worship, I want to just invite us to just close our eyes and just think about that. Just think about, you know, all the times that we have accused God of certain things that were not true of him. In the midst of our pain, but I mean, don't just reflect on that. I don't want us just to have bad thoughts about those things, but just remember that, you know, especially hindsight, just remember how God watched over us, and God didn't give up on us, and God continued to relay his love toward us, and God came in the midst of us to save us and restore us, you know, this really is more than anything else about the goodness of God. And so, as the worship team leads us in a song, I encourage you to meditate on that, on the faithfulness of the Father.
Thank you. I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. I see your power in the moonlit night, where planets are in motion and galaxies are bright. We are amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. I see you there hanging on a tree. You bled and then you died and then you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne, and soon we will be coming home. You're beautiful. Ooh. Ooh. You're beautiful. Is just a memory and tears are no more. We'll enter in as the wedding bells ring. Your bride will come together and we'll sing. You're beautiful. When we arrive at eternity's shore, where death is just a memory and tears are no more. We'll enter in as the wedding bells ring. Your bride will come together and we'll sing. You're beautiful. I see your face, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. I see your face, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. I see your face, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Sing verse 4. When we arrive at eternity's shore, where death is just a memory and tears are no more, we'll enter in as the wedding bells ring. Your bride will come together and we'll sing. You're beautiful.
Let me read a passage of scripture. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read it on the Message version. It's about the Master's coming. It says, and regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. And then this, we can tell you with complete confidence, we have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give the command, Archangel Thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven and the dead in Christ will rise. They'll go first. Then the rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them into the clouds to meet the Master. Oh, we'll be walking on air. And then there'll be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. So let me reassure you with these words. There is great hope for resurrection. There's great hope that those that we have lost over the years, you know, my mom, Brother Calvin, and so many others, so that we will see them again. They're in the place of perfect peace. And when Christ comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we will join them. Those that are alive, that have the privilege of being alive during that time, we'll meet them in the air, and there'll be such a great reunion. This was the hope that Job saw in his spirit, that he, in the midst of 14, he saw this, that he would call and that he would answer. And this is the great promise of God that gives us hope in our lives. And so let's go before the Lord and just as a meditation and just think about the goodness of God, that this hope is relayed and given to each one of us. In this way, regardless of our loss and regardless of the suffering and affliction, there's always hope, but because there will always be a resurrection. And let's pray for a moment. Thank you. prayers, pray for friends and family. Hopefully that slide will come up very soon. You'll note that the first person there is Mr. Ho, and this is the person, the cleaner from the building in Kuchinikan, as I put in my comments. Let's go to the next slide, and let's pray for the community that are battling with cancer or the illness. For our community and spread the word. Let's go to the next slide and let's pray for our mission prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, for Jungmin and Hyunjin. Let's pray Tokyo and Cambodia, for Grace Oasis Sons. Let's just cover these countries and our people there. Thank you. Let's pray for our missions council, and let's pray for the Holy Spirit to just lead and guide us, and just give us a lot of wisdom to lead our church and our mission. Let's pray for our local agape, homie, some of the things and build up and as they go and really miss. Pray for SP Fanning, that's our national ministry. It's good to be. There's a new baby coming soon into the walls. There are a couple of families that are trying to get through their applications quickly, especially in the midst of COVID-19. A lot of offices are closed and those things. Okay. Pray for our gatherings tonight, IP, SPU, SPU, and GIC class. We're moving our students and prayer warriors will pray effectively tonight, and the people will be discipled. Lastly, just continue to lift up our city. Together. Father, thank you again this morning for your word. I thank you for watching over us, God. And And thank you for the hope that we have because of things, Lord, your death and resurrection, and life, and you. We pray that in the midst of our pain and affliction and suffering, God, that we always have right thoughts of who you are, God. Help us, Lord. We know it's not easy, God. We ask for your help, Lord. Your mercy be extended to us. Watch over our city, especially, God, this weekend. Lord, you know that cases are spiking right now. Lord, just put an end to it, Lord. Do something only you can do, Lord. We thank you. Watch over us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you online.